Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome you to this broadcast on behalf of Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for tuning in today. We're going to commence with an opening word of prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee today that we can come to Thee in and through that precious and all-worthy name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless Thy word as it goes forth today. Bless it, Lord, to all who hear. And, O God, we pray that Thy word will be the joy and the rejoicing of all of our hearts today. Bless us, we ask of Thee, in the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read from God's precious word from the opening book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read the first part of this chapter together. Genesis chapter 3 and the verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? How hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. We're going to listen to the singing of our second hymn now. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Turning back to Genesis chapter 3, and it is the words of verse number 9 that we want to consider for a time today. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? The book of Genesis opens with a description of God's perfect creation, a picture of God's perfect world, a picture of peace and happiness in a place of unparalleled beauty. The Bible tells us that everything that God had made, even man himself, because he was made in his image, was good, was perfect. And that included all of his creation as well. But as we come into Genesis chapter 3, we find and we see the beauty of God's creation being marred because of Adam's sin. In Genesis 3, the verse 6, we read of how Adam, our first parent, fell into sin. And this chapter is important because it provides for us the description of where we are today because of sin. But it's also important because it provides for us the promise of a Redeemer from sin. It is in Genesis 3 in the verse 15 where the Lord gives to us that wonderful promise of the Redeemer. Genesis is a book of beginnings. A Genesis is the book of firsts. And for a time today, we want to consider the first question that was asked to the first sinner. We have that in the words of Genesis 3 verse 9, where we read, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" The first question to the first sinner. I want you to see with me here the circumstances that prompted this question. The circumstances that prompted this question. Adam realized he had sinned. That which God, Satan, had told him about in verse number 5, about a knowledge of good and evil, was tragically fulfilled. Their innocence now had been lost. The paradise that God had created had been marred. Man, because of sin, had fallen out of fellowship with God. And sin made him ashamed. They felt ashamed of what they were, and they felt ashamed because of what they did. And we find that in the passage of Scripture that we've been reading, that they try to cover their sin. They try to cover their sin by the sewing together of the fig leaves. They realize their sin, but they tried by their own efforts to cover sin. But sin can never be hidden or covered from God. You may be able to hide your sin from others, but you'll never be able to hide it from the eyes of an all-seeing and an all-knowing God, because he sees right into every heart. He knows exactly the state of every heart. Wonder, how do you stand before the Lord? How is your heart before the Lord? As the Lord looks into your heart, what does he see? Does he see a heart still stained with sin? Still with the effects of man's fall upon your life? Still under the wrath and the condemnation of God? If so, there is a Redeemer from sin. It's found alone in Jesus Christ. And so into these circumstances the Lord came and asked this first question to our first parents. Where art thou? Why did God come and ask such a question? Is he not the all-knowing God? Did he not know where Adam and Eve were at this particular time? He most certainly did. But you see, God asks questions not because he needs information, but rather he was trying to bring Adam and Eve to that realization that they had sinned. He asked not for information. He desired confession of sin. On over in the next chapter in Genesis 4 in the verse 9, he asks a similar question. He asks this time to Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" The first murder has taken place. And he seeks to get Cain to confess to his sin. Therefore, this question here in Genesis 3 and the verse 9, it was not about the geographical location of Adam, but rather it concerned his spiritual condition. And God wanted Adam to be brought face to face with his sin. He wanted Adam to own up to what he had done. He wanted Adam to admit that he was wrong. You see, God would not have had to ask that question if Adam was in that place that he should have been spiritually before God. If Adam had continued in that state of perfection in which God had made him, there would be no reason for God to ask such a question. Because of Adam's sin, Because of Adam's fall into sin, Adam lost out in fellowship with God, and he was in the wrong place spiritually. How did he get there? Yes, because he sinned, but also because he refused to subject himself to the will of God. He thought he knew better. He believed his option was better than God's plan. He believed his way was better for him than the ways of God. He believed the lies of the devil. You see, he believed he was the kingmaker in his life. And he refused to subject himself to the will of God. Isn't that the picture of the sinner? Thinking no better than God, that we can do all right with God. We don't need him in our lives. But the reality is, without the Lord in our life, without his salvation, we are lost. Maybe today as you listen, you believe you can work your own way to heaven. You're good enough. You're like Adam and Eve. You try by your own efforts to cover your sin. But it will never be enough. And God comes to you today and asks that question, "Where art thou?" The circumstances that prompted this question. But I want us to see as well the characteristics that distinguished this question. I want us to notice some of the characteristics of this question that was asked to our first parents. The first characteristic we notice is that it was a powerful question. It was asked by God, and of course, any question that the Lord asks in Scripture, he does so for a reason, and he does so with power and with authority. Oh, this was not the creature asking the Creator a question. Rather, this was the Creator God asking the creature, his creation, this question. And there is a great sense of power and authority here. But in all of this, we see how that it aroused the conscience of Adam. Adam realized he was a sinner. Adam tried to hide from God. He should have been running to God, having fallen into sin. He should have been running to God, pleading for God's forgiveness and for God's mercy. He should have cried unto God and pleaded with him to forgive him of that terrible sin that he had committed. Adam should have sought out his Maker. But instead he ran from him. He ran from God. But God came to him. God came to Adam in that fallen state and asked him this powerful question, "Where art thou?" It was a powerful question because it was intended to awaken Adam out of his sin, to stir the depths of his heart, to see the danger that he was in. "Where art thou? Look at thyself. Look at yourself with now a sinful, stubborn heart. Look at yourself as a lost sinner, ruined. Where art thou? Sinner, oh, that today you would awaken to the awful danger that you were in. Awaken out of the awful condition that you were in and cry to the Lord. Don't run from the Lord, but rather run to him. And seek his forgiveness and seek his mercy. Oh, today, realize that in your lost condition, you're under the wrath and the condemnation of God. The Lord came in love and mercy to Adam and with this powerful question asked, "Where art thou?" It was a powerful question. It was a personal question. You see, it was addressed to Adam personally. He also spoke personally to Eve in verse 13. This was a question that was addressed personally. And whenever the Lord speaks, he does so individually. This was a question that Adam had to answer himself. And this is a question that you need to answer yourself as well. You see, today salvation is very personal. Because you need a personal saving relationship with God. It's not about how someone else is before God. It's not about how others are before God. It is how are you today before God. Where are you today? It was a personal question. The Lord comes and asks that question to you personally. Where art thou? How do you stand before him today? It was a powerful question. It was a personal question, but it was also a pertinent question. It was a most appropriate, it was the right question, it was most suitable. Oh, he didn't ask this question in chapter 2 because Adam was in that right fellowship with the Lord, but now that fellowship had been broken. It was a right and a proper question to be asked. And the Lord asked that question rightly and properly to you today. Where art thou? It was asked and it did necessitate an answer. Where are you today with God? How do you stand before him today? This very moment, how is it with your soul? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you right before him? Do you know him today as Lord and Master of your life? Or are you still in your sin? This is a very pertinent question. And the Lord comes to you today and asks you this question. Where art thou? It was a powerful question. It was a personal question. It was a pertinent question. The characteristics that distinguished this question, the circumstances which prompted this question. But I want us to see as well now the comeback that reacted to this question. In verse number 10, we read the reply that Adam made, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Here was Adam's comeback to this question. Here was Adam's response. And you know, as you read through the rest of these verses, you can't help but notice that Adam had no response at all. He had no answer. He tried to answer, but he couldn't. All he could say, I was afraid. But rather than being a holy fear of the Lord, it was a mortal fear, a fear that drove him from God, rather than a holy fear, a reverential fear that should have driven him to God. I heard thy voice, and I was afraid. We see in verse number 12 how that he seeks to blame Eve. Verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. He blames Eve, he also blames God. What an awful thing here that he blames a holy God for his sin. He blames Eve for the temptation that was placed in the way. Such is the wretchedness now of his heart and life before a holy God. Such is the depravity of his soul now that he blames God for being responsible for sin. God is not the author of sin. And we must never lay that accusation at the door of an almighty, all-holy God. You see, Adam points the finger at everybody else, but he doesn't realize his own fault. He sees how everybody else is wrong. He sees how that everybody else needed to be asked this question, but not him. Oh, I'm all right. I did nothing. That's what sin does. It dulls our senses. It dims our spiritual light. And when we are confronted with our sin, as Adam was, we try to cover it up or we try to make excuse. Today, God knows your heart. And don't try to cover your sin. Don't try to run from him. Don't make excuse for your sin, but rather run to him. Because God has provided that remedy in the person of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save you from sin. Don't cover your sin. Don't make excuses for your sin. Don't run from the Lord, but rather run to him. We see a seeking God here. We see as one who was searching out the sinner. One who in love and mercy came and desired that Adam would own up to his sin, confess his sin. Praise God, today we have a searching Savior, searching out the hearts of men and women. And as he comes and calls to you today, don't make excuse, don't try to hide. Don't fool yourself that all is well. But rather turn from your sin. Come to Jesus Christ today and be gloriously saved. Where art thou? If you do not have God's salvation, then today you're under the wrath and the condemnation of God. But that wrath can be turned away by coming, repenting of your sin, owning up to your sin, and crying unto God for His forgiveness for your sin. Where art thou? The first question to the first sinner. God asks that question to you today. Where art thou? How do you stand before Him today? We'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. And O God, we pray that You be pleased to search out all of our hearts today. And Lord, today for any without Thee, may they run to Thee. May they call upon Thee. May they cry unto Thee for mercy and for forgiveness. O Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll search out the sinner. And Lord, we pray that by free and sovereign grace, You'll bring them to Thyself. And Lord, that they would be saved, that they would cry unto Thee for salvation. O God, we pray that You'll bless the going forth of Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, today that Thy word is that hammer that can break the rock in pieces. Heavenly Father, we pray that today You'd break down hard and stubborn hearts. Lord, for those who are seeking to rebel, those who are seeking to run, those who are seeking to hide their sin and cover their sin, we pray, Lord, that today they would run to the Savior, that they would find in Him their all in all. And Lord, that as You would search them, we pray, Lord, that You would save even today. Bless us, take our thanks, Lord, for Thy precious word. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.